morning, Patriots. Yeah, you get to experience that little cough at the beginning. How was that? Sorry about that. I didn't have the mic on mute. So, I don't think most people realize that we just passed a pretty historical date. And that date was April 18th, 1775. And on that date, hundreds of British troops marched from Boston to nearby Concord, Massachusetts, in order to seize an arms cache. Paul Revere and other writers sounded the alarm, and the colonial militiamen began mobilizing to intercept the Redcoats. On April 19th, local militia clashed with the British soldiers in the Battle of Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts, marking the shot heard round the world that signified the start of the Revolutionary War. When the Second Continental Congress convened in Philadelphia, delegates, including new additions Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, voted to form a Continental Army with Washington as its commander-in-chief. On June 17th, in the Revolution's first major battle, colonial forces inflicted heavy casualties on the British regime of General Washington Howe at Breed's, at General William Howe's, at Breed's Hill in Boston. The engagement known as the Battle of Bunker Hill ended in the British victory, but lent encouragement to the revolutionary cause. This is an epic period in our history in these days right now. This was truly when the country came to war and came to the realization of war. And it was the understanding that there was no other way forward at that point in time. And where that led us, obviously, was a very difficult and enduring fight that forced the nation to awaken and to make a decision on where it would be and how it would stand. There were no fence sitters in the Revolutionary War. You were either pro-British or you were against British. There really wasn't much in between. I shouldn't say that. It's not entirely true, because there was the Quakers, others like it, that chose to stay outside of politics. But at the end of the day, some of that's a bit naive, because you can't stay outside of the conflict of the country in which you live. Ultimately, it will spill over and affect you. Today, this war has been launched against the people of the United States and simultaneously against the people of the world. And it's hard for people to get their head around exactly what type of war we are dealing with. The war that we currently face is a war that is taking a form that no one has ever imagined. It's a war that's using every institution of trust to manipulate and ultimately destroy the people. And sadly, it's every institution and most people in these institutions. From Senator Tim Scott, who I have a measure of respect for, is going to be speaking after the puppet and hand puppet of China, Joe Biden's speech to Congress, his first speech to Congress on 28 April, which we'll talk about in a second. Senator Tim Scott will likely be giving that speech with a mask on. Most of the pictures of him are with a mask. I'm at a point now that anybody that's perpetuating that lie is himself sold out already. The mask should now become a symbol and indicator of the traitors. We're long past the charade, and all we're dealing with now is a mass MKUltra event on the entire population. The entire principle of the the mask is to wear people down, to embody this idea of fear of one another, and to make it normal. And that's the first step in conditioning of the public. And as we move forward here, the more that they do this, the more that they are conditioning the mindset of the people to submit. The mask is a very powerful tool. It's part of the Luciferian rituals of submission, as is hand washing. And to force a public into this to where it's the parents, and the parents are too damn weak to understand what's going on, and so they submit their children to the same torture over and over and over, you break the will of a nation. It's going to require the bold few that can push back against that to constantly defy. In some places of the country, masks are hardly being worn. In other places of the country, they're like drones. But it centers not just on the people, it centers on the businesses. I live in a county where the county has openly said it will not enforce any of the rules of the state. The businesses can open. The state uses its powerful hand of trying to use OSHA and the health committees to take away licenses and crush businesses. But businesses can defy. There's some that have successfully defied by understanding the rules. The problem is that people don't have the will much anymore to fight, because they haven't embraced the fact that this is a true war. The colonialists understood something. They had the violence, they had the tyranny in their face, and it took the form of a British redcoat and British administrators sent by the king. The people understood what the British were doing. They understood when their houses were burned or somebody was hanged or soldiers were forced upon them in their homes where they had to quarter them, or soldiers would rape their daughter or their wives, and then they would be put up to trial and the soldiers would get off or be simply be rotated home and the British would deny it. So it is important to appreciate that tyranny was there, and in spite of the attempt by the soft writing of history to try to make it sound like this was a glorified era, somewhat of a noble fight, this was anything but noble. This was an ugly war on our soil, and it was an ugly war to break and have freedom. That war is here again. And ironically, at the back end somewhere is still the connection of the United Kingdom, just like it was in the beginning. This time we've added in China. What people have to understand is that their idea is simple, and it was defined by the raid that seized, and I believe it was 2018, when they seized all of the drugs, the fentanyl, down in Long Beach Port. That seizure of fentanyl at that point in time was enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in North America twice over. The point here is that they were out to destroy everybody, and they still are. What the Chinese want more than anything is to wipe out everybody, if they can, and to simply move their people in and turn and reclaim this land or claim this land for their agriculture needs. And they're not stopping yet. They're finding every which way they can. What is going to make the difference between winning and losing is going to be the backbone of the few, not the many. Because the many, there's too many weak people in this nation these days. There's too many people that have become soft. They want to literally have their hamburger and drive through. They want to get back to going like things were. This is the whole mentality. And they're not realizing what the actual costs of this war are. This war isn't about announcing itself. It is being waged in a stealth way with the most deceitful and evil people on the face of this earth. So let me read something to you. It's rather profound. This comes from the Pfizer shot study, page 135. And it's what people that are getting the injection are not being told. This was the study of Pfizer. They're not sharing this in the informed consent side of this. Because when people go in to get a shot, they're giving away all their rights. So listen to this. Male participants are eligible to participate if they agree to the following requirements during the intervention period and for at least 28 days after last dose of study intervention, which corresponds to the time needed to eliminate reproductive safety risk of the study interventions. Number one on the list, refrain from donating sperm for 28 days after the shot. Plus, be abstinent from heterosexual intercourse with a female of childbearing potential as their preferred and usual lifestyle, abstinent on long-term and persistent basis, and agree to remain abstinent. Or must agree to use male condom when engaging in any activity that allows for passage of ejaculate to another person. What you just heard here is a study internal to Pfizer that is revealing the risk of affecting fertility and the effects of this injection on their own, on men's own sperm as a carrier of something. That shot is getting deep within the genetic code of people. This isn't a joke. This comes right from the frontline doctors. Anybody that is injected with this is now a carrier to another person. This study first came out in England, and it is they're carrying the ability to make another infertile, even if they were not injected. The span, they say, is a 28-day period between the time, and this is focused on the male, between the time the male is injected to when this is supposed to dissipate. For 28 days, they become a carrier of agents that can be transmitted to the female and that they can make the other infertile. This is a war above all wars. And the ultimate war right now that's being waged is on creating infertility among the masses. Now, there's a bright spot to this, believe it or not. And I think the quote is best. It was a quote that came from a good friend of mine as a good observation. And it's the fact that we know that the majority of conservatives are holding back from the shot. Increasingly, I should say. But that there is a staunch resistance to the shot. And we also know that right now there's other side effects that the frontline doctors are trying to track. And it's having to do with women's fertility of women who have not come in contact, or I'm sorry, who have not taken the injection, but have had just casual contact with coworkers that have taken the J&J shot, and in the process, they're having effects with their menstrual cycles. It's affecting them physically by just being in proximity or in loose contact to people in a working environment, which means that the J&J shot is something is coming out of the J&J shot from the other person. It's almost like the J&J shot's giving almost like a virus that's transmitting to others. This is very real, very real. The importance of holding out on this is huge because what they're trying to do is destroy the population base, to diminish the population. I don't say this with joy in my heart, but sadly and also eerily, the group that is pushing the vaccine the most is the group that's going to be affected the most. And ironically, that ends up being the liberal class. So as a friend of mine wrote last night, all of the reaction against getting people to take the shot, the assault on the conservatives to take the shot, he says, that would fully explain why the left is going so crazy that the conservatives aren't taking it. They're sterilizing themselves out of existence. There's some truth to that. The left is somewhere at the level of the left. They're understanding that while they were hoping to eradicate all the population, that there is a stalwart section of the population that's saying no, that increasingly is this population rooted in God. And in that foundation of us rooting in God and holding that line, they are themselves administering their own dose of infertility to their own people and in the process sterilizing their entire mass. And while I don't wish any sort of ill will on them, the fact of the matter is that it speaks very significantly to the line that we hold. We cannot bend. We cannot waver. We must absolutely hold to God's way. The relationship that we have through Christ to God is the most important relationship we've ever had. And it is more important than it's ever been than right now. It is a point where literally their own tools of destruction are snaking back onto their head, with an emphasis on the snake. Don't think that the pressure won't increase. The pressure of this war is going to increase just like it did with the British. Remember, at the point in time came, the colonialists fought a beautiful war against the empire by boycotting their products, a fight that we now have to take on our own. This is the time that we have to go on the offensive, not stay on the defensive. This is a time when we need to press in harder than ever. And the center point of that warfare is to every one of us organizing locally the boycotts of the corporations, any corporation that was on that list, the list that supported Major League Baseball's leaving of Georgia because they were trying to say that Georgia's election laws should not be implemented to secure the election. That statement was to say that they all voted for crony capitalism and crony voting to continue at the expense of the people. Every patriot right now needs to be organizing in their local communities to identify the brands that are most local to them and every one of those brands that they can affect, and using that list as a template of boycotting those products, every single one of them. Every single one of those companies by the end of this year needs to have such a devastation in stock market share or in stock market value, we need to see the destruction of those companies, burning them to the ground. That means bankruptcy. The only way that's going to happen is if patriots buckle down and act like the colonialists did, to have a backbone, not just a backbone, but have a spine. It means you're going to have to endure some things that are difficult. It means you're going to have to stand and do things that are not going to be easy. It's not going to be popular with many of your colleagues. It may not be popular with your family. But you have to lead now, not follow. We have to lead this boycott on a national level. If you're the only one in your community, remember there are other communities where it's the majority of people. But we all have to stand with strength. Every single one of us. This is a time when we have to demonstrate the true power of the people through the corporate world. We have to send a message to every person on Wall Street. And it's not going to happen by just a little boycott here or there. It has to happen in a way that the 65% of the conservatives out here that make up their market share, that are brand loyal, have to stop buying products from them. We need to see that market. We need to see that reduction in market share in terms of 40 to 50%, if not more. We need to re-stimulate what we grow in our local backyards and what we buy locally from farmers and ranchers. We have to find the products that are American-made and stop buying from these corporate beasts. But we use the template of what that group in Georgia, and we use that as the template, and every single one of us has to actuate a plan to organize in our local communities to begin attacking those companies by not buying their products. And it has to be devastating. There can be no prisoners on this. And I truly mean that. We have to fight ruthlessly. And it's only when we fight ruthlessly are we going to take the high ground in this fight. Remember that the first battle with George Washington was the Battle of Bunker Hill. It wasn't a victory, but it inflicted heavy casualties on the British. We have to inflict heavy damage on every one of those corporations. And it doesn't let up. When we make the commitment to boycott, we have to boycott forever. Can never go back. You can't say, oh, I'm going to do this for a month and then I'm going to go back buying. You have to continue with that persistence until the corporations are done. And we have to do that as a group. Major League Baseball, with its corporate backers, made a position that they were not going to support election reform in Georgia, and in so doing, they put the shot heard around America that they were going to support the continuation of corrupted elections. This country's return is going to be based on we the people. And our greatest weapon right now are our dollars. Every dollar we spend or don't spend is part of a victory or a loss. We need to inflict the losses on the enemy. The enemy is a list of corporations that supported Major League Baseball and defied Georgia. That list is your target list. Use it. How you organize is up to you. How you manage this is up to you. But it is no time to wait. It is time to move now. You cannot buy from those corporations. And we need to crush them. That 65% of that market share, ideally all of it would go away. You have to change your buying habits. You have to get creative. You have to find other sources. It's not easy in some communities, but you don't have a choice at this point in time. If we continue to feed the beast, it will continue to use its power against us. This is where we are. The colonialists didn't have the internet. The colonialists didn't have a common source of place to find information. They organized together. They did their digging. They did their research with what they had, and they were bold. In this day and age with the internet, everybody's become so complacent, so lazy. And it's literally, like I say something like this, and it becomes an issue that if people don't have that list right before them, they're not going to take the time to go dig and research it. Start acting like a soldier. Start acting like a warrior in this fight. Dig. We have the tools. We have the means. Find the list. Get the list out and share it to your friends. Build your email lists. Get it on your social media. Start pushing this boycott. It has to be against all those companies. It has to be decisive with the majority of the patriots. And it has to be a level where we are breaking the back of those companies. Literally breaking the back of those companies. You're going to hear resistance because some people are going to say things like, well, you're affecting local jobs. Yes, we are. The fact is, yes, we are. But so did the colonialists. When they boycotted British goods after the Townsend Acts, anybody that was caught in their communities buying British goods was publicly shamed. If you don't understand the status here, and I would hope people get their head around this. This is war. They are literally trying to poison the public. They are trying to affect the population's ability to reproduce. They are modifying the genetics in every person with this injection. They are not disclosing what they're actually doing. They're waging a bio war against the citizens of the United States and the patriots around the world. This bio war is being incubated in the same labs that produce bioweaponry. You have government members that are playing on the charade of wearing the mask so that they continue with the fear porn and the breaking down of people's mental will to make them submit to this process that pharmaceuticals own. You have a military that has become absolutely neutered. Whatever it's doing behind the scenes, it's slow, it's not reacting, and the problem is that the public face of the military is worthless. Right now, if someone was to ask me, as a person who served, if you should go and serve in the military, I would say don't serve. The military is not, in my opinion, an honorable institution to be part of these days. Not at this moment in time. It is time to be bold in this and to make the hard decisions. Work together. Build your connections with each other. Share. Build the networks. It's not going to be done off of one site. Worry not about the military. Focus on the impacts that we can make. And those impacts are economic. That is one of the most powerful things. We have the local community political actions, which everybody can take. We'll talk more about those in the coming days. But the action of boycotting is something I've talked about for probably well over a year. And it's time now to get clear and focused on this. The action of boycotting is the single tool that we have that can deliver a lethal blow to the corporate America. When you start getting Wall Street paying attention to the fact that 5, 6, 7 corporations can't function financially in the United States, that stock values are crashing, that people are moving their money out of those stocks in their 401k investment plans, getting away from any of those 7, 8, or 9 companies, however many there were. You have to shake the financial institution for them to understand. You have to get them to come to their knees to realize that the true power of the market is us, not them. They don't get to dictate policy. And we have to hit it hard, and you have to be loyal to that fight. The more that we press into this, the more ruthless we are in this fight of boycott, you will force the hand of evil to come out in its true face. So be prepared. The lesson from the colonial period is that as they literally affected the crown, and they did, and what they did in the crown is they broke the back of the crown, put them in a desperate position because the colonialists dropped the imports from England by almost 50%. It hurt them so much that that's why England deployed 3,000 troops to Boston. There was literally one troop for every eight people in Boston. Tremendous amount of troops in Boston. And that led ultimately to the conflict. Now, I hope that we don't see a conflict, but don't be surprised if you do this, if you start to see all sorts of other coercion. coercion from your corrupt police officers, coercion from your corrupt political institutions that are now armed to the teeth. The only way forward here is to press the system to its maximum limit until it finally has nothing left but violent tyranny. We have to get past this soft role, and we have to have everybody ultimately confronted with the fact that the government we are under is a tyranny. It is not a government of the people. And in doing so, we have to do everything we can to break their powers, their power base. And this power base right now is being driven by corporate America. Break seven companies, then find another seven and we'll do it again. It has to be this sort of fight. There's always contention when I bring up the issue of the military. There's always people that will try to say what the military is doing or not. I have no doubt that there are things going on behind the scenes. I also know that in the main body institution of the military, there's just a bunch of ass clowns running that place right now. I can guarantee you that with the contacts I have. Don't hang your hopes on the things that are told to you about all the great things the military is doing. The military is only going to be successful if the people are successful. Remember that. And right now, the hope lies in that 40% of Marines that aren't taking the vax. The hope lies in that other percentage of soldiers that aren't taking the vax. But it is not their job to fix this problem. If they do come in, it's at a completely different level. And I suspect they will not come in the way you think. It will remain a stealth operation, because they don't want to have the stain in their history of being seen as the institutors of martial law. That's a concerning issue, but it means that the fight is on our shoulders. We have to build in like mind. There are great patriots within the ranks of the military. There are great patriots within the ranks of the corrupted police officers. There are great ranks within our first responders. Great patriots within our first responders. There are great patriots within our sheriffs. There are also dirtbags in all those piles of people. There are sellouts in all of them. That's the challenge we face. And we have to separate the wheat from the chaff here. And the way that is done is people taking a bold stand. And one of those places is to start to boycott, and then you have to be vocal in your local community. Again, we'll talk more about the political actions next week. We have an enormous body of veterans that are purely loyal to this nation and what it represents. But the military as an institution right now, as I said before, is not something I would encourage anybody to join at this moment in time. It is a time right now that we have to reestablish the set of people that believe in being Americans versus those that want to give in or comply to an corrupted tyranny. No different than it was in the colonial period. So it is essential that we press forward with the fights that we can manage and we can be victorious in. And those fights are centered right now, the most aggressive fight that we can wage The most effective fight that we can wage is the fight of the boycott. As we're working in our own homes to reset our own stability and security, we have to begin to break from the dependence upon the corporate architecture, which makes us dependent on everything rather than having a sovereignty in our local communities. Once we break that dependence, and it will take time. But the more that we break that dependence, the more we wage a war of destruction against their corporate control. The companies, again, that supported the Major League Baseball departure from Atlanta because Georgia voted in election reform, those corporations need to cease to exist in this country. Those corporations need to go bankrupt as they currently are. Those corporations need to be punished by the Patriot movement that understands that liberty and freedom in this country are based on a vote of the people that's secure and verifiable. They declared war on us through a single act. They fired the first shot. Now we have to step up to the plate. And it's time to be soldiers. Soldiers of a different kind, of a different era, but nonetheless soldiers. And as a good soldier, you have to be ruthless in your fight. We have to do with less. We have to be adaptive, buy differently. We have to encourage American businesses, small ones that are loyal to the American dream, loyal to our Constitution, loyal to God. That is the battle axe that we wield to destroy our enemy. We have to use the experience and clarity of battle for the veterans that are out here, for those men and women in uniform that are loyal to this republic. We salute you. And we encourage you to push back against your corrupted institutions and leaderships that are trying to force you into a tyrannical situation. But everybody is now making a choice. Everybody. You're either an American or you're not. There's no middle ground. There's no hyphenation. You're either an American or you're not. And in the end, I would hope that we will make the reforms to such a degree that when it comes to corporations, any corporation operating in this country has to operate under a charter that is defined by the Constitution of the United States and the love of God. And if it does not follow that charter, it must leave and shut down business. If these companies want to honor China like so many do, then they need to pack up their bags, pack up their whole operations, and go to China. We don't need them. This has to be this hard of a line. There can be no middle ground anymore. We have played this middle ground goofiness for the last 50 years. We've tried to bend over and be super Gumby for everybody. And thanks to shit poor leadership in our Congress that has sold us out under the name of Republicans, they have slowly migrated policies increasingly to the left because the left and the right have always been centered on one party called the globalist party with two faces. Where we are today is that we have to reclaim this country. I don't care if it's under the brand of Republicans. In fact, that's fine if we do, but we reclaim the Republican moniker as our founding fathers intended, which was freedom, liberty, and government by and for the people, grounded in these words, "In God we trust." No exceptions. I want to read. This fight has been led by a lot of women, and I don't have any, I praise the women that have led this fight. I want to see more men involved in this fight, but I also want to remind all the women out here of something very important historically. So listen carefully, please. The boycott fight was led by women in the colonial period. It was a group of women that got together that began the boycotts, that began making the alternative products that even were against the ruling of the king. At the risk of their own lives, they did this. In the end, I believe the group was about 90 strong. As I recall, it started in South Carolina. So women, I'm telling you, you have the power of the purse. You can lead your families. And you can lead this boycott. It has to happen again. We'll get the men kicked in the butt to get doing something. Men, if you're out here, I salute you. Keep fighting. But right now, I'm speaking to whoever wants to hear. But the fact of the matter is, that boycott that broke the British purse reduced the imports to the colonies by 50%. That boycott was led by a small group of women. Use the history. Use that history to inspire you. And let's do it again. This time, we have 7 major corporations at least to crush. And I mean crush. By the time we hit Bard's Fest, we should start to be seeing the cracks in their armor. And by the time we finish this year, we should see these corporations at least in sort of some sort of receivership, having to go through Chapter 11 or something, bankruptcy and reorganization. At the very best, they'll be out of business. Unite, use your networks, organize, and take action. It's the strongest nonviolent piece that we can do right now, and it must be heard around the world. When the world starts to see major brands collapse and Wall Street sees this, you're going to get some attention, and it's the attention we need. They need to understand where the real power is, and we have to prove to them that we don't need them. We will not obey them. And in the end, we will be victorious. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come together. We thank you for the strength as we stand boldly in Christ's name against this evil. We thank you for the clarity and understanding where we need to strike, and we need to strike viciously. Lord, we understand that through the acts of flipping tables, it takes courage. It takes a strength to stand up against the many things that push back against us, to try to influence us, to try to persuade us or coerce us into doing the things we don't need or necessarily want to do. It's through our strength in you, Lord, that we understand that we can stand to this, that we can have our feet solidly on a rock that's unwaverable, to know that in this fight of flipping tables, in this fight of changing the world, that the strength of the purse, the power of the purse, can literally transform the world. We understand that in that process of realigning our priorities and putting our love back on you, our faith in you, and stepping away from the dependency on the material things, we are sending not only a message to those who create and manufacture and manipulate and control, but we're also sending a powerful message of where our true loyalties are, the loyalties and the foundations of this nation, which are in the words, "In God we trust." And so we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, we have a lot of fight ahead of us. And we can begin now. We have to begin now. And it has to be aggressive. It has to be uncompromising. In the end, it has to be ruthless. You have to start with your own families. You have to start with your neighbors. We have to continue to communicate. This has to be an organic movement. And it has to be across every Patriot's family, across this nation. We all have to do our part. We're all being called to arms. We need to take the 65% of their market share and take it away. When it goes away, they go away. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up. Keep your focus on this fight. There's a lot of fight ahead of us. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And in the end, God willing, we will see this victory and be there with him at the end. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots, I'll see you tonight. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price. bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.